MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with our investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting with Stefano Marani, he's CEO of Renogen. Disclaimer up front, I hold shares in Renogen. Stefano, I appreciate the early morning. I want to try and get a sense of processes and timelines of getting productions phase one and two. I mean, obviously, our focus here is Renogen, but you know, there's a bigger story as to how we understand how sort of mining or this sort of business gets to that capacity. As I understand, currently, you phase one, I mean, where are you with that? That's your sort of early part, sort of almost a proof of concept around the business.
Good morning. Yes, correct. So phase one has always been a proof of concept, both for us and for the United States. Obviously, phase one was funded by a loan from the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, mm-hmm. or now the Developmental Finance Corporation, DFC. Proof of concept, you take it with a pinch of salt, it's still almost R1 billion investment. It's about just over R800 million. And that goes into operation this financial year for us. Mm-hmm. We're talking about getting gas into the plant during the fourth quarter and then putting gas in trucks and moving it around to customers shortly after that. That is the equivalent, just to put it in energy, in the form of energy that people can think about. Phase one will be producing somewhere about 75,000 liters of diesel equivalent of energy per day.
Wow. Okay. And that proof of concept is both that there is what is expected in the ground, and obviously you've done the research, you've done the digging, you've said there is. It's proof of concept that there's something in the ground. It's also, I imagine, a to a degree, you know, you and your team, can you deliver on this and actually make it happen?
Yeah, so I think the proof of concept wasn't necessarily so much as to what was sitting underground. I think we've got proven reserves, mm-hmm. and proven resources, so that's there. I think the proof of concept was more whether or not corporate South Africa could adopt a gas economy. The other part of it is obviously the helium. So phase one produces 350 kilograms of helium per day, which, although it doesn't sound like a lot, you got to appreciate that the gas is A, incredibly expensive, B, insanely rare, mm-hmm. and 350 kilograms is about 1.5 times South Africa's entire consumption. So it's meaningful.
A very, very large amount of gas balloons at the same time, because, of course, helium to me is always those birthday balloons. I like your point about adopting a gas economy, and that is a shift. I mean, our economy has been hydrocarbons, you know, oil, and what you see is the LNG, and you've got the idea, you've got your cryogenics, you've got talking around trucks. I remember running on LNG. I remember the refrigerated trucks. You've got some IP around that. There is a fair bit of a sort of shift within the broader economy. Is that shift happening? Are you seeing customers who are saying, yeah, hang on, this actually looks like something worth trying?
So, I mean, you know, you touched on Imperial a little earlier, and yeah, you know, the fact that foreigners are now starting to see value in South Africa. I think that is an increasing trend, and what you're going to see is that as these foreigners start to come in, they are going to start enforcing their ESG on South African companies. Mm-hmm. We are a dirty economy. We're a filthy economy. And what we are seeing is that internationally, globally, the push and the move from diesel to gas is unprecedented. And the reason for this is that whilst EV is great for your and my car eventually on the road, you cannot power a big 51-ton combination payload truck with EV. It's not, even if you were to reach the theoretical limit, mm-hmm. of what a battery can store, it will never be economically viable under South African conditions. So people need alternatives. You need a higher energy density, and this is where LNG comes into it.
Okay, and then phase two. So you raised some cash last month going towards phase two, and this is, you've got your proof of concept. You're now doing a more detailed feasibility around it, and then you'll start rolling what is a significantly larger, particularly in the helium space, phase two project for Renogen in your fields.
That's correct. So, you know, we obviously had a drilling campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That drilling campaign was monumentally successful, way more successful than we thought. And now all of the data from the wells that we drilled has gone over to our reservoir engineers in the US. They're busy crunching the numbers. We've gotten two engineering teams, SIPEM and EPCM, to start designing what phase two will look like and what the feasibility studies will look like. That will then also go over to our reservoir engineers. And then we're hoping in the coming, you know, coming 1 to 2 months, we will be able to announce to the market exactly A, what is sitting underground in terms of just pure raw molecules that are economically viable to extract.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, what phase two looks like. And yeah, obviously then all of the associated financing mechanisms and whatnot. But we're pretty confident that we're going to have, we're working towards a timeline of turning phase two on in 2023. And as you said, that we see as being the game changer when Renergen truly puts its mark on the South African energy mix.
Yeah, at this point, and no disrespect to it, at this point, it's sort of startup / ramp up. 2023.
Of course.
Yeah,
we're tiny.
Yeah,
we're tiny.
And 2023 is like, that's just around the corner. That that is quite close. I want to quickly pivot to the helium story, which I ran into a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago. I'm reading results from Party Shack in the US, and they say really, really bad numbers because we couldn't get hold of any helium, and therefore no helium balloons, and therefore their sales suffered during that particular period. Helium's got quite a wild story. I mean, it's been a strategic reserve in the US, although as I understand, they then reversed that and then sort of looked to reverse. I mean, the helium story in the US has been a wild ride, particularly in the last decade or so, as they unstrategic reserve it.
You couldn't get a team of fiction writers in a room. Even if you took the team from Game of Thrones, they would not be able to make up a more fantastical story than helium. So yes, you're right. It started off just before World War I. U.S. Secretary of Defense borrowed money from the Fed to build a strategic reserve in Amarillo in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was to make aircraft for logistics and for bombing. And then that was pretty much the only use for helium. It was lifting. And then Oppenheimer came along, not our Oppenheimer, Oppenheimer in the U.S. came mm-hmm. along in World War II. And whilst on paper everything looked good, he couldn't actually build anything without the helium. And so the Secretary of Defense borrowed a lot more money and built a really, really large helium reserve. And then with the Cold War, obviously, that required an inordinate amount of helium. And it got to the point where the Fed wanted its money back. So the Fed started asking, it put together this act called the Helium Stewardship Act, which forced the reserve to auction off helium commercially. Now, what they didn't predict was that shortly after putting that act together, MRIs were invented, and MRIs use an inordinate amount of helium, both in their manufacture and their operation. You cannot do an MRI or a CAT scan without helium. It's not possible. And so that literally led to the point where helium consumption vastly exceeded fresh supplies of helium coming out the ground, with the result that it ended up depleting this reserve. And as you said, 2018, the United States government declared helium the second most critical element to United States national security. It's a problem. It's a real problem. There are senators and congressmen that are looking to have the Macy's helium balloon parade banned in the United States.
In order to save on, because that's just it. I mean, helium was lifting, but these days it is equally a part of medical. We'll leave it there. Stefano Marani, CEO of Renergen, trying to get a sense of how you go from greenfields sort of mining to final production. 2023, that's 2 years just around the corner. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with our investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.